Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
This is The Stage Right Side with James Whiteside, where we'll dive deep into the dark world of dance and come up on the bright side.
Intros and hellos. Bullet point. Bullet point.
Hi, Reed Bartleby.
Hi, James Whiteside. I'm doing well. I'm a little weary from a day at the studio, and I have coffee in a thermos.
Okay, it's just for the record, all of you at home, it's 6:30 p.m. I can't believe you're still working at the studio.
No. This it's actually fine. Okay. I got here very late today. And I could have recorded at home, but I'm going to line dance tonight. And I literally walked out of the studio to get on the train to go home to record. And it was so cold that I was like, you know what?
No.
I'm going to do it at studio and then I'll be outside less.
Yes. I'll be outside
fewer steps.
No,
but it is that kind of cold now where you really have to be judicious about how many minutes you're outside.
It's 20 degrees today, 20 whole degrees. And it was 10 degrees a couple of days before Christmas. But going back to something you said, you used weary.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Correctly. And you know what drives me batty? When people use wary as weary and vice versa. They don't know the difference between weary and wary.
6:30, which means it's time to record with James Whiteside.
We started a few minutes early because I managed to have two gigantic bowls of spaghetti in time for this podcast to start early.
Ooh, what kind of spaghetti was tonight?
So I live right next to, well, not right next to, like a block away from an Italian specialty shop. It's called Russo's Italian Specialty Goods or something.
Okay.
And I get these, it doesn't have a name on it, but they make fresh pasta there and you just like buy it out of their fridge. And it's squiggles, like really, really tight curls. But long spaghetti strands.
Okay.
It's like it's a corkscrew, but really long and spaghetti shaped.
So it's not a fusilli because it lacks that kind of core.
Correct. And it is as the same width as spaghetti.
Right. So when you cook it, it doesn't straighten. It just stays in this curl.
Well, I usually plug in my hair straightener right next to the stove. And as soon as it comes out of the pot, I just immediately, while it's warm, I just straighten
each
strand
one.
Of curly spaghetti.
Wait, I have to say, is it more
it's worth it?
Is it more Slinky or Porky Pig?
What?
Porky Pig's tail. Porky Pig's tail. Or a Slinky.
I'm trying to really think here. I would liken it to a corkscrew.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a corkscrew is?
I have opened wine, if you can believe it. Even though
I don't
drink it, but I was a caterer.
Why? When?
Really? Do you not know this of me?
No.
This is the origin story of how I know Mark Byers.
Oh wow.
We were catered in 2007.
Okay, wait, hold on. Mark Byers is a mutual friend of ours. He's a music producer. He and I have worked together on many a JB Dubs song. Mm-hmm. I make music, for those of you who don't know, under a pop rap moniker, JB Dubs. Reed, hit it.
And I just saw Mark in LA, which is now on fire.
I know.
It's oh my so God. Bad.
It's so bad.
No, it's so bad.
I the internet is so hard to look at because everything is awful.
Everything is awful, James. That's correct. Every headline in the news is like, it's over. Life as we know it is over. Anyways, let's just talk about Mark for a minute.
This is an escape. This podcast is an escape.
This podcast is an escape from future presidents trying to acquire lands and the fires of LA. Anyways, mm-hmm. Mark mm-hmm. Byers and I were young gays in New York in 2007. Okay. Which was 19 years ago. Wait, no, 18 years ago. And we worked for a catering company. I was dancing for Shen Wei, but we had I don't even know if I remember the number. We made $400 a week and less.
In New York City.
New York City.
Unbelievable.
That was my job. And so I needed another job, obviously. So I got a catering job with great performances, which is like a catch-all. It's not like a you're really cute kind of guy catering company. Have you seen those?
It's not models. Yeah, it's their models trying to get a job.
Yeah, those are amazing. When you go to an event and every single caterer is like more beautiful than anyone attending the party.
But I'm confused. I don't really understand why that's a thing. Because I can't hook up with them at the event.
No, it's terrible.
They're working and it feels incorrect.
But do you ever chat with them?
Not really. I don't know. They're working.
They are working. It's true.
I don't know. I feel like I can notice that they're beautiful, but it feels like a waste of time.
I know. I was just at this Hermes event and it was just like one after the other. Couldn't believe it.
There was a dance company there, right? Or something, Galim or
Galim.
Something?
Harriet and I did costumes we produced the costumes for this artist who designed the whole installation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the Galim.
Did you enjoy what you got to make?
Yeah, they were good. Really beautiful.
Okay, I haven't seen pictures.
I'll send.
Also, Reed's been on the podcast before, but for new listeners, all three of you, I would like to introduce you to Reed Bartlemy, who is one of my best friends, and pardon me, and a fabulous costume designer with his partner, Harriet Young.
Jung?
Sorry. Yep.
That's okay. Common mistake. That J could be silent, but it's not.
I don't know. I just want her to be like Swedish. I don't know.
Young, German, Austrian. So this episode goes out to the 40, the 50 of you.
Hey, I have more listeners than that. Are you kidding me?
What do you think? Are you looking at the statistics?
I have analytics. I have analytics. Listeners in the thousands.
Goodness gracious.
I know. Can you believe it? That's because of the internet.
That's like the olden days of my podcast, which is now down into the double digits, probably.
So here's my, we'll get back to the Galim costumes, but this is season 7 of The Stage Right Side.
Whoa.
And I have to be completely honest. I like doing this podcast very much when I just get to talk to my friends.
Absolutely. And
it is the most entertaining for people when I'm just talking to my friends. Mm-hmm. So gone are the days of me doing NPR wannabe, and then what brought you to the gas station? You know?
I did actually have the thought today. I thought, wait, what are we allowed to say on this podcast? Because I wanted to ask you if you've ever been in a circle jerk. And then I thought, is that okay for this podcast?
I love that this is an art / sexual freedom podcast. And the answer is yes. Have you?
No.
Well, it's not so much a circle jerk as this is, I'm sorry to my listeners. You're welcome also.
Please, they're so grateful right now.
It's more of like just a group situation, so it's not exclusively people
are culture. I see people are doing other things. It's not just like mm-hmm. chairs with towels at facing each other, kind of
correct.
like it's a group therapy but with towels.
Have you ever heard of, this is really, okay, it's flying off the rails. I'm going to lean in. Have you heard of Ookie Cookie?
No. Oh, I think I understand.
So this was like a sort of threatened as a game in like, I guess like high school, I heard about this.
If you're the last one to come, you have to eat it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ookie Cookie. Can you believe the name? Isn't that incredible?
It's an amazing premise.
Yes. Amazing. It also sounds delightful.
I would absolutely not be the last person. I couldn't. I'm sure someone would want to be the last person, you know?
Oh, for sure. That's the problem with these gay people these days.
Well,
they want that cookie.
It's all people, even.
Yeah.
A lot of people want that cookie.
This is the stage right side.
Yeah.
Wow. What is that sound? It sounds like a squishy fart.
You're kidding. I'm from my end.
Is it your water bottle?
Oh, this? Wait.
Yeah, wait. Put it on and then.
Oh, this sound? And then.
No, and then untwist it. No, that wasn't it. I don't know. I heard a squish sound.
That's okay. We'll come back to it.
It was the cookie.
It was the cookie. I was having a little cookie.
Oh, my God. I've never seen someone drink more water during a podcast recording.
And guess what? I haven't had a sip the whole day. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't. I stay hydrated in my stride.
One of my weaknesses in this life is drinking water. I cannot pull it together.
Okay, so do you want to know a thing that works really well for me?
Can I make a guess?
Yes.
Does it involve a straw?
No.
Okay, go on.
However, I do controversially love straws.
But is it like Stanley Cup has straw?
No, I'm not doing that. Get a grip. Get a grip. This is unfair.
Okay, go on.
So... In the summertime, I buy Stumptown. I'm going to show the camera raw. I buy Stumptown.
I actually, I know this about you.
I buy Stumptown cold brew, and then I keep the glass bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And I have about like 7 or 8 at a time in which I refill with water and put them in my fridge. And so whenever I want a nice cold glass bottle of water, I take it out and it's wonderful and I really recommend it.
I know this isn't like RRR, reduce, reuse, recycle, but what if one day for a holiday gift or birthday gift, I gave you a set of beautiful glass bottles for water for the very same purpose?
I'd be like, I already have that, but thank you.
Return to sender immediately.
The thing is, I don't want people to give me things I already have.
Right, because you have your Stumptown and that's beautiful.
Well, also, it's just like, they're fine. And I'm not trying to win the Jackie O Design Award. You know what I mean?
Here's the weird thing. Like, I'm not either. I don't even care about what I wear. And I like work in clothes. But like, I want the things in my refrigerator to be nice. Weirdly.
That's so interesting.
I know.
Couldn't be me.
I want to like open a kitchen drawer and be like, wee.
I still use the knives that my grandmother had gifted me an Amway brochure.
Obsessed.
Anybody? Old people out there, you will know what an Amway is. It was this old, you would like buy the brochure or whatever. You would like buy a certain dollar amount of whatever, and they would send the brochure to the recipient. You would look through the brochure, and they would have anything from like, you know, pet beds to kitchen stuff to sweatshirts, whatever. And I selected a knife set when I was, you know, getting ready to leave home.
You mean like the kind for cutting meats, not butter knives?
Not butter knives. So I still have the butter.
So it came with a bread knife, like a big,
bread.
A chef's knife,
mm-hmm.
Like a paring knife?
A paring knife and a small, like 6 steak knives.
That is classic.
Yeah, and it came with a butcher block and everything, and I still use it. The quality is shite. When I cut through a bell pepper, it turns into like, it becomes completely macerated.
Wait, did it come with a sharpening steel or that? No.
No. They're like strangely serrated. Every knife is a little serrated.
I know the kind.
Yeah. It's just a cheap knife that I still use. That you know, that said, I did get a new knife recently that is a proper, like, chef's knife.
Beautiful.
Japonaise.
Goodness.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. I have recently discovered via Instagram research, or maybe YouTube research even, this very inexpensive $15 or less knife that's one of the Japanese shapes. I don't know what it's called. It's like rectangular-ish and a little rounded, because some of them are like just a rectangle.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. But this knife was recommended as like, this knife is it. And it really is. And I've had it for a couple of years and it was so cheap and it's so light. Like the kind of knife that you think this is trash, this is a toy.
Yes.
But then it's amazing.
A $15 knife.
Yeah.
Or an Amway set.
It's essentially Amway.
Get you through.
I wanted to go back to a thing I never finished, which is I was Galeen. Talking about how I was, well, even before that, catering.
Oh my God. The way we went somewhere else.
We went far. So I was part of Great Performances, which is a huge catering company. And I was catering a bar mitzvah or a child's birthday at the Central Park Zoo one evening.
No.
Yeah.
I hate it.
And
I hate this story.
There was almost nothing to do because the zoo was empty. There was not that many children invited to this party. And so
everyone got eaten by chimps.
Wow.
That's the headline for now.
Absolutely. But Mark Byers and I were tasked to like take ice somewhere or something. And we ended up kind of just like wandering around the zoo and going through the exhibitions. And we started chatting and it was like, oh, where are you from? How old are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, he was like, oh, I'm from Ohio, but I lived in New York from when I was like 10. And I was like, why? He was like, I went to boy choir school. And I said, excuse me? I was like, I went to boy choir school when I was 9 in Princeton. And then we realized it was kind of the same years. And I was like, were you at a dinner where the American boy choir came to your school and had dinner with you in like 1993? And he was like, yes. And I was like, we had dinner together when we were small children.
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
That's like, I don't know, makes me almost like believe in something, you know?
I know. I love Mark.
Mark's wonderful. I love working with Mark. I love working with you.
Thank you. I got to see Mark's home that he owns in Los Angeles in Frogtown.
Wait, I haven't been to that.
Next time you're there, you have to go.
Yeah.
Because the bottom floor, it's so nice. And the bottom floor is a recording studio. Mm-hmm. And then he put up these very fancy shelves in his kitchen area against one large wall that only houses board games. It's insane.
He's a board game girly.
He's so that I was like, I didn't even know there were this many crazy colored board games.
I feel like, okay, hear me out. I think people who really like board games are really smart.
Yeah, there's a kind of intelligence that's sometimes not relatable, but it's definitely high. It's high.
Yes.
High.
I mean, because when someone tries to explain the rules of a board game to me or a new game,
I have zero interest in board games that have lots of like pictures and rules and cards. No. Catan? I will never.
Catan. I figured out Catan one time and it was fun. That's the end of
it. Was it really?
Yeah. I think I was, we had been drinking.
That game looks so ugly. I can't even approach it.
You should
redesign.
You should make redesign. But what would it be called? Catan.
Can you imagine if there was a redesign of that show? People would riot.
Yeah, they love the like hay and the wheat of it all.
They really love hay. Yeah. They love a kind of beige, you know.
Yeah, it's very you know, settler. Core.
Settler core. Gorgeous. Okay, so we have bullet points.
Yeah. What did you do after New Year's?
God, it was just the other day.
Yeah, oh, that's why you should remember it.
I went to Massachusetts, the Berkshires, to see my friends Cassie and Jesse, and we did cozy cottage living, and they have they have a very sweet house there, and we went cross-country skiing, which really hurt my hip flexors.
Yeah I can't/ don't want to do that.
It is incredible. Like, what
I've heard, it's very hard.
It's very hard. It's very beautiful. And I am a bad athlete. I'm here to tell you, like, people think like, oh, your history, you're an athlete. And then I am bringing up the rear, like, hardcore. I'm really back there being like, don't worry about me, truly.
Yeah, I can't do any sort of sport. I don't know. Like, I even pickleball. I'm like, I'm going to die here. Are you trying to kill me?
Wait, is that true? I imagine you as a person with good aim who can, like, hit the ball with the racket.
Yes, I can, but I will not. I don't run.
No, you cannot.
And so I, like, people are lunging, they're going for things, and I'm, if my arm can reach it, that's wonderful, but I shan't be running.
Yeah. I got a lot of comments that were like, just bend your knees more. And I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. My bones are touching. Thank you very much.
My bones are touching.
I took ballet class this week. And speaking of bones touching, man.
No. Was this how long did you take off?
2 weeks.
Ooh,
big mistake.
Very bad.
Big mistake. Yeah, every time I get into ballet class after more than 1 week off, it feels like, I don't know, like some sort of shattered robot.
Yeah, you one time described your labrums as Swiss cheese, and that's really stuck with me.
My labrums aren't the problem, actually. I feel like my knees don't really work, but, you know, she gets the job done.
Yeah. Do people know your age on this podcast?
Yeah. I'm happy to tell people I'm 40. I feel like it's fierce.
I mean, it is fierce that you're doing this.
Yeah. And I'm not bad, you know?
No. And at 40, you need to get in the studio every day to make sure to stave off osteopenia, you know?
Oh, what kind of osteopenia are we talking?
I did not have the staying power to, I knew from young.
Oh God. I mean, honestly, it's hard. It's very hard because when you're young, you have the drive of wanting more and getting promoted and all of that stuff. And I've been a principal now for 17 years.
What?
Yeah. And
wow.
And I still get my ass up every day and go to class.
You know what I mean? Do you like, what's your motivation? What do you hope for?
What do you mean? I need a more specific, what do you hope for? Because I hope for lots of things.
I suppose I can relate in a way to that, to not being like trying to get promoted or achieve like another level. Cause that's over for you.
Yeah, in a way.
So now it's not as concrete as that. It's more like you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for to be like a vehicle for other people. I don't know.
Yeah. So my goals now, I think longevity is really respectable in this field because it is such a difficult place to exist for a long time. To be really frank, want to continue to enjoy a decent salary as long as I can before I transition to God knows what. I do very much enjoy being a vehicle for other people's work. I like working with choreographers. I like the people. My goals are to be around people generally. I'm social. And then I also want to use this time to not be clawing my way up the ladder to become a principal dancer. Like, I'm here, I'm doing the roles that I meant to do, period. And I want to use this time to make sure that I'm laying down bricks for the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that means extending myself more in choreographic spaces, working with different companies, making sure people know and believe that I can choreograph, you know? Figuring out creatively what's my next step, like writing and books and all that stuff, film and television with choreography. These are my goals. So I'd say my first sort of goal in the short term with why I still do this is to still grow and be like the best I can personally be. and like accepting myself for who I am, et cetera, because you spend so much of your dance career wishing you were better, like somebody else or something. And now that I'm this age, I feel really good about what I've done. And I feel like what I bring to my roles now is like a, just a better perspective than a 20-year-old, you know?
Yeah. I mean, how many, you're like the elder statesman at ABT now, like in terms of.
Ermon is the oldest. Yeah.
Forgot about that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been doing it for a really long time too.
Wow. He is remarkably well preserved too. Wow.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How amazing. I just go to line dance and limp home, you know?
I mean, yes and also no. Like I limp home.
You're doing something that's just so ungodly to yourself.
I know.
Yeah. But
yeah, I'm not ready to stop because I don't have a job outside of it yet, really.
I feel like you
I will.
You of course. You already have like the foundation of so many jobs.
Yeah.
Really. You do more than most, James.
I do. I know.
You really do.
And I do that on purpose.
I wish
it's not an accident.
I wish I had your ambition.
I feel like you do in a different kind of way and in a different space.
Yeah, it's true. I'm very ambitious about like being thorough in various ways, like knowing about the field in which I work. And also I am someone who can kind of take to a job and just like work. Okay, I want to know what this marketing shoot is. That's also a bullet point.
Oh yeah, yeah. So this week we're not doing rehearsals or anything, but this week we have our ABT marketing photo shoot and video shoot for marketing campaign materials. So like little commercials, things you see on the subway, etc.
Do you already know like what you have to do?
Yeah, I'm doing Neo Rutmonsky's Neo.
Oh, because it's coming again.
Yes, it is. We're doing it on tour, and then I don't know anything beyond the tour. So it might just be for tour materials, but I don't know. We're taking it to Korea.
It was a hit. People loved it.
Yeah, it's good. It's
but a really I, good dance. I mean, I loved it even from when it was for video consumption only.
Yeah, not everybody saw it.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, then I was going to say, did you see the New York City Ballet's Firebird promo commercial?
Oh my God. They know what they're doing. They really get it.
It's so good. Oh, man. Sean Swazi did it.
Oh, God. It's hard for me to see that. You know that, right?
I know that.
I don't. I dance for American Ballet Theatre, not New York City Ballet.
It's true.
Do you remember?
They do marketing and visual presentation the best. They just do.
They do. Period.
They just do. Period. Like no one in the dance world is doing it like them.
Correct.
And they're just every year, like reinventing how they're going to present ideas and their old work to a new audience. And it's amazing.
They prioritize aesthetic in their marketing over, sort of keeping it classic. It is done in a way that feels very artful. And like,
yeah.
And not bare bones. Like they really put some coins into that, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. And it's frequently just very experimental. Sometimes it has almost nothing to do with like what the season is going to be. Like it has no kind of visual indicators of like, these are the dances we're doing. It's not that. It's just like, this is the New York City Ballet. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the people in it.
It's branding. It's very good branding.
Yeah, it's great.
And it also sort of highlights the beauty of the people really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah. I mean, ballet is a lot about the beauty of the people. Let's be real.
Sure. Film, theater, ballet. Mm-hmm. You know,
hot people doing things. That's
what
I call it.
Hot people doing stuff.
Wait, I want to talk about something completely unrelated.
I love that.
Did you see Alien Romulus?
I see that on our list.
Yeah,
and I saw it this morning. And no, I have not. And no. I, unlike you, it's hard to get me into a theater or into my bed to watch things, violence, gore, terror. And I know this film's going to be all those things. And I've really enjoyed alien movies in the past. For example, original Alien and all of the Prometheus movies.
Me too.
Is this like that?
Very much so.
Really?
Oh, man. They crushed it.
Okay. But I'm imagining there's like things going down people's throats and eyes. Yes. And
yep.
I could do it at your house.
Yeah. Well, we can do a watch party and I'll turn it up real loud and get you all scared.
Really?
Yeah.
You would rewatch it for me?
Yes, I loved it.
Do you think Isabella would watch it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's do a meal and we'll eat those spiral noodles to sort of like to relate to aliens going down people's throats.
Oh, that's good theming.
Thank you. Okay, so that's my Alien Romulus journey.
Yeah, I just I thought you had maybe watched it, but I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was such a great addition to the franchise. Really fun. Okay. So much fun.
I promise that we'll do a watch party with good foods.
Yes, with those spiral noodles. Okay, I think this is a great place for us to take a break.
Oh.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back.
Oh,
divas.
My God. Now, what you don't know is that our break was just James and I staring awkwardly at each other for about 6 seconds.
The people who watch the video on YouTube are really going to enjoy that.
Wait, I've been seeing a lot of other movies.
Tell me.
I saw Emilia Perez last night.
I have to watch this. I heard it's really fun.
I was completely surprised and pleasantly so.
Surprised and delighted.
I was delighted. And then I saw The Brutalist.
I don't know what that is. Is that the Adrian Brody one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Should I watch it?
I think they got carried away. It had an intermission. Yeah.
What happened in the intermission?
There was a photograph of Adrian Brody's kind of family before he left Europe, and it stayed up on the screen for 15 to 20 minutes. And then
what do you do during that?
You go out and get more popcorn, stretch your knees, pee.
How long is this movie?
I think it was 3.5 and then make it 4 with the intermission, et cetera.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was intense. And there's a lot of good things about it. It's amazing looking. I just also like, I don't want to see stories about like guys doing dope. I just don't.
Yeah, that's not something that's going to draw me to the theater.
Did you see Queer?
No.
That's what that is.
It's just sad boots.
It's sad, tragic, grim. Sad, tragic, grim.
But is it sexy too?
No.
Okay, so I shan't be watching.
No. And then I saw...
But I do like Luca Guadagnino. I like his movies, generally.
Generally, yes. And Challengers succeeded, and then this movie does not for me.
Okay.
And that, I was two in a year. You know, it's a lot of work.
Say that again?
Two in a year. Two movies in a year.
Yeah, that's too much.
It's too much.
Go to Vegas. I don't know. Go to Mexico. Sit on a beach, diva.
I did see Wicked.
I saw Wicked as well. So much fun.
It wasn't as difficult for me as I anticipated.
I could definitely see that for you.
Thank you.
I loved it. I had so much fun. I saw the musical with an ex of mine in Boston, even before Dan, like it was a guy I was dating. Wow. And he was like obsessed with Wicked, and I just didn't like him. But I tried, and he brought me to see Wicked, and I was like, this is so whack. Sorry, I'm not buying it. And he was like, you hate everything I like.
Is this the boyfriend with the, when your car broke on the ice?
No, that was Jimmy.
Okay.
Yeah. This guy, his name was Greg.
Okay.
Yeah, we were really young.
Do I know like the car ice story from the book or from real life?
The book, for sure.
Wow. Yeah. I really loved your book.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I mean, you don't get dancer memoirs like that.
You don't get regular memoirs like that.
It's true. Especially not since Dancing on My Grave.
Oh my, that, what a banger that was.
Oh my God. They really used to do a more conceptually, like Allegra Kent's dancer body book, where she's like, here's a weekly menu plan. Oof. Do you remember this?
No.
These
I'd
things
like
are,
to not.
These things are not allowed, and we probably shouldn't even discuss them.
Yeah. Dancing on My Grave was, she threw people under that bus, honey.
She really did. She said, I'm using names and I'm taking no
prisoners.
She threw
herself under the bus too.
Absolutely. She said, this movie is an movie. I wish.
Option that stat.
You know, I think that people have probably tried, and I think she's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Like,
you know what someone should do? Someone should write a piece of fiction very loosely based on her story and just be like, sorry, it's not you. It's not about you. It's a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's
don't
shady,
we feel like
though.
One of these dance films has already been that, or Flesh and Bone?
Like any of the TV shows, literally any TV show. Like, what was that? Like Tiny Baby Things or something?
Tiny Baby Things. Exactly.
Like that was crazy.
Has Barton been a guest on your show?
No.
He could actually talk about Tiny Baby Things.
Yeah. Maybe I'll text him.
You really get to see Barton's butt on that show.
I don't remember it, but I feel like I would if I watched it. I did watch that show, but I don't remember the butt.
It's beautiful, ample, creamy.
That sounds like an ice cream. Ample, what is it?
Ample Hills
Creamery.
Oh my God, it is Ample Hills.
It's just beautiful. About an ass.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about a restaurant I went to before we, continue on.
Okay.
Have you heard of High Collar?
No. You heard of this? But I am seeing the spelling of it.
Yes.
Hi.
It's a Japanese cafe, and it's on 9th Street in the East Village. And they have everything from egg sandos to chicken katsu curry.
Delicious.
And all of the delicious food. Ugh. And the coffee is such a slay. So I just wanted to shout out that place.
is it sit down?
It's fabulous.
Sit down and
sit
enjoy.
Sit down, yeah. Sit down and enjoy. It's really cute. And
I honestly
have a little
would,
like bamboo fountain.
If my timeline were different today, I would go before line dance.
What time is line dance?
8.
Okay. Tell the people what line dance means.
Line dance is an American dance vernacular that probably comes mostly from the American South. And I honestly don't have a very detailed understanding of the history, but I'm sure that a lot of also Black American dance vernaculars are part of the idiom. And it's having a kind of renaissance currently with like young queer folk in America, like all over the place. And mm-hmm. line dance is prevalent all over the United States in more like country bar environments. Mm-hmm. But right now it's having a little bit more of a pop culture moment where young people are really excited about it. And I started getting into it like a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I discovered a gathering that happens in the East Village on Wednesdays, and I got completely addicted. And I do it two to three times a week now. And everywhere I go in the United States and abroad, I find it.
Wow.
I've been line dancing in London, in Boise, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, and all the time in New York.
So when you go to other places, do you have to learn the dances of that region?
Yes. So a lot of the line dancing I'm going to in America is through an organization called Stud Country. And I've even gone to one of their gatherings up in Massachusetts. And so like those are more familiar dances. Mm-hmm. But when I was in England, it was like, it was so cute. And it was like mostly senior citizens. And they not only did like kind of country line dances, but they also did like English country line dances that you would more associate kind of with like clogs in the garden. Do you know what I mean?
Whoa. That sounds like an ankle sprain waiting to happen.
To like Irish reels. It was so, it was the cutest thing I ever saw. They kept coming over to me and being like, why do you know these? And I was like, I don't. I'm just doing them with you.
Because I can see and learn.
Because I'm seeing and learning. Wait, what's that song?
That's impressive.
See and learn. Oh, Into the Woods.
I don't know her.
It's a song I think that someone
to grandmother's
sings.
House we go.
Exactly, it's that.
Do you remember the edit of the Star Wars Cindy's Ballet Class that you made?
Incredible film. An incredible film.
Okay, I need to just discuss how insane that time was. Like, okay, also hear me out. I think the Cindy's Ballet Class was the last time that I had fun on the internet.
It was one of the most conceptually interesting dance things that has ever happened. Period. And I want to speak for a lot of us when I say that pandemic, like severe pandemic time, was like my most creatively productive period of my young, beautiful life.
Yeah.
And I keep kind of trying to recapture it, but there's so many distractions, like going outside, seeing friends, going in a restaurant, seeing a movie. So,
yeah, I hear that. And I agree. I was so productive in a weird way. And I think about all that I was churning out, like Shannon Bobannon, like all those Shannon Bobannons, I wrote a book at that time.
We had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was crazy. My days were so like structured. I was like waking up, I would do internet Cunningham class or like literally just sit down with breakfast and watch the Cindy's class and never actually do it. But just watch it as a TV show.
I mean, it basically was a TV show.
And I'm so glad I did because I was able to screen record Star Wars episode, which is one of the most insane pieces of dance film ever made. It's so good. I can still sit there and laugh and laugh.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll go back and look at your edit and think to myself, God, this is good TV.
Oh, just that you put that makeup on your face in the morning to do an Instagram ballet class.
It's all so embarrassing. I'm so deeply embarrassed by myself generally.
And you wore a blanket as a hooded cape.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so good. Bella was wearing a pillowcase that she just cut.
Yeah, it's so deeply embarrassing. Like, I just can't believe that we allowed people to join Armenia. But it was really fun, and it felt like good to do.
I think it was beautiful. I don't like feel embarrassed about any of it. I'm so glad. I'm just so glad.
Yeah. Well,
it was so it was liberating and uncensored in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. What's next on the list? Beyonce halftime.
Did you watch Beyonce halftime?
I did. And I was, I'm not going to say I was surprised because she doesn't mess up. Like Beyonce does not come out and have a flop. She doesn't do that.
It's very confusing. That accuracy is impossible.
I don't know the right language for this. I want to say she's the greatest performer of all time, but it's something else. She is like the most virtuosic performer of all time or something like that.
And I think logistically, I'm always so impressed by her. Like, what's her administration like?
Airtight.
Yeah, I just can't believe it all gets done.
It's amazing. That they came out and did this enormous show at a football game, and like every camera angle was perfect. Uh-huh. Like every cue worked. The dancers were perfect beside that one gorgeous girl doing the line dance at the front who fucked up just ever so slightly.
I didn't see that. No.
Oh, you'll find it.
Did they edit her out already?
No. Oh, amazing question.
Because they do that now.
Amazing question.
Even if it's live, they'll go back in and
I'd have to go back. Also, the costumes, incredible. There's so many of them. I'm like, what is the budget?
A bajillion dollars for Netflix. No one watched that game, but they sure tuned in for Beyoncé.
That Netflix bought that to subsidize the production or something. It's incredible. It's genius.
And she's just trying to get that best album Grammy.
Does she never? Has she never?
I don't know anything.
I don't really like
the album, but don't at me, you know?
I don't listen to music. So I almost said I don't listen to Beyoncé's music, and then I just wanted to amend that to I don't listen to music.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought him and Harriet a speaker so that they could listen to music and podcasts in their studio, and they only listen to podcasts.
There we go. And that is the truth. I think Harriet does listen to more music in her spare time, but I do occasionally have the urge to listen to music, but for me, it just always ends up being like music from ye olden times.
Yeah, or just listening to Margaret Whiting 24/7.
I don't even know who that is.
It's like, you know, Biddy Crooner.
No. We're going way further. Pergolesi. Think that way back. You know, we're going to the 17th century, et cetera.
Oh, I don't know her.
And then we're thinking
about Pergolesi panties. What are you wearing? A Pergolesi panties.
A pair of Gavleski pantkis.
Oh, mess.
A pair of Gavleski panties.
Let's see. I don't know what I'm listening to. I listen to a lot of new music. I enjoy it very much. I've been listening to Kacey Musgraves' new album, which I enjoy. I love like what I a genre of music that my friend Cooper calls making eggs music.
Like, I don't get it.
Music you want to have it on in the background as you're making breakfast.
I see.
So it's like it has lyrics. It requires a little bit of paying attention, but it's not shrieking at you.
Right. I never want music shrieking at me. Almost never.
Well, if I want to feel like fierce, Steve, I'll put on some.
Did you see Baby Girl?
No.
There's a scene where Nicole Kidman goes to a rave, and it was the first time in the past 15 years that I thought, I want to go to a rave.
Okay. Why?
There's something. Okay, so I'm just going to say she walks into this rave party, which apparently like the outside of it was some like well-known Brooklyn party rave venue that I'm now forgetting.
Maybe I'd recognize
it. I want to call it like garbage dump, but that's not right.
It's probably right.
No, it's not right.
Knockdown Center?
No. Try again.
I don't know if these places exist.
It's like
anymore.
It looked like a loading dock.
Well, same.
You look like a loading dock from behind. Yeah. So anyway,
I can't believe you're still drinking water.
I have some phlegm. So she goes into this place and she's wearing her kind of like work clothes. And right when she walks in, people immediately start kind of encouraging her to take off her blouse and everyone is on psychedelics. And then a woman just like, who's gorgeous, just is like offering her water from a water bottle. And it's like the lights and the music and it all looks just so amazing. And they're taking off her blouse and she's wearing just a camisole underneath and she's drinking this woman's water. And then they're just kind of kissing. Uh-huh. And I was like, I want to go to a rave.
Yeah.
It just looked so fun and free. And like, I want to just shut my eyes and feel like the warmth of like other people's bodies and like moisture.
Yeah. And the music is so, you know, you feel it. In
you
your
feel
literal
it.
Bones.
Literally more. And that's what how this scene was shot. And obviously I'm wearing earplugs in this scenario, right? I mean, I'm wearing earplugs to line dance, so.
So you're definitely wearing earplugs at the rave.
Oh, absolutely. I probably am wearing earplugs and earmuffs to really, you know, noise canceling.
the Apple earmuffs.
I don't.
What are these kids doing? How do they afford these headphones?
I think it's like they prioritize it because the world is too intense for living anymore. You know?
Well, I understand that. Like, I want to not hear people on the subway. So I get that.
I got on the train last night after a late night line dance event. So it was like 12:15, 12:30. And there was a man just like looking across at being at someone and being like, "You cowboy." Oh, and just like, it didn't feel scary. I just was like, shut up. I was so like, it's quiet time.
Yeah. We don't need to do that right now, sir.
No, and he wouldn't stop.
He was not well, for sure.
No, I know. And especially in these cold, cold, cold months, like they all come inside. Mm-hmm. It's schizophrenia central down there on the train.
It's the poop hotel.
It's absolutely the poop hotel.
so rough.
We are desensitized. You're like walking up the subway stairs that are literally covered in shit and vomit. And you're like, normal stuff. Here we
go. Gotta go to work.
Gotta go to work.
Gotta go do ballet.
Totally.
So cuckoo. Okay. I want to plug a gala that I'm dancing in not this coming weekend, but the following. On the 17th and 18th of this month, Isabella and I are dancing Christopher Wheeldon's After the Rain at the IB Stage Gala. And that's at City Center. So go to NewYorkCityCenter.org or Google it. I don't know.
And my friend Drew Jacoby's involved somehow.
Wait, really? I haven't seen her in like a decade.
I think she has choreographed something for it.
Fabulous.
And so we're reuniting.
Good. We'll go to Le Bain like it's 2012.
No, we will not. It doesn't exist and we won't.
Yes, it does exist.
What? Oh, now I know what you're talking about. It does.
The club, Le Bain.
It exists still.
It's still at the standards. Yeah.
Wow. Even after Ruby's trauma.
What's that?
Remember how Rubinal Pronk cut his foot in the hut?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sucks. Yeah, the hot tub's still there, I believe.
Wow.
Whoa. So yeah, come see me and Bella do After the Rain on the 17th and 18th at City Center. Bing, and in closing,
bing,
read.
Bing, bong, 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 bing, bing. We used to literally, like, when I was 18, 19, 20, I was listening to that on repeat and, like, crying in my room as I'd, like, you know, write notes in my dance journal.
So for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, the music for After the Rain is Arvo Pärt's, what's the title of the music?
It's called like Ferelina or Spiegel im Spiegel.
Spiegel im Spiegel, Purina One, Pet Chow. It's called Farina.
It's called Pear Panties. Pear of Lacy Panties.
Pear of Lacy Panties. It's so good. It's stupid.
Okay. I can't wait to actually talk to someone who knows who Pergolesi is and tell them that. Because I can guarantee you nobody has ever made that association.
You're welcome.
In history. Pergolesi. Pergolesi panties. What? I'm just going to buy a pack of Pergolesi panties on Amazon.com.
They're on the like Deutsche Grammophon website.
Yeah, exactly. Fredericks of Hollywood Deutsche Grammophon collab.
Limited drop. God.
Oh, incredible.
Limited drop the panties. Okay, I'm going to stop that. In closing for today's episode, I'm going to ask you, what are you watching, listening, reading?
Okay. Well, I am a person who, for better or worse, does watch sci-fi. And I watched the Dune show, all of the Dune Prophecy.
Me too. Can we talk about that?
You're literally the only person I can talk to about it because no one else will watch it.
It's so crazy. What's wrong with people?
I thought it just got better and better and better. Like the show started, I was like, this is a dud. And then as it went, I was like, this is good.
Okay. I didn't quite arrive at this is good. I was very irritated for the first couple of episodes.
Yes.
This is so petty and I hate it here, but this is going to be very like, you know, SpongeBob meme where he's like, duh, or you know that SpongeBob meme?
Certainly not.
No. So insert SpongeBob meme. I read all of the books, all the Dune books.
Wow.
And I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of what the Bene Gesserit witches are supposed to be like.
Oh.
And I was like, this ain't right.
Okay.
But that said, it's before all of that. So, you know, maybe they hadn't arrived to being the fierce lady warriors that they are portrayed to be in the books. So I was like, what's Marm doing? Like, why is Marm here?
They are Marm. They're being
It's Marm City.
But I will say their ruthlessness realizing their ruthlessness by the end, I was kind of like, I don't know who to root for in any of these situations, but this is mm-hmm. so brutal. Just the mm-hmm. way that they were like, just wipe everyone out. It
yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
no
that her sister is the mother of that guy. I was like, this is too good.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I got there in the end as well. I need it to be better next season. And I need them to use better fabric.
They have to fix the costumes.
The fabric is crazy. They're literally using Party City cloaks, like Dracula capes.
They bought Party City, what have you, and then they got an iron with like a little pattern on it and pushed it into the thing.
Yes.
And then they were like, this is modern. And you were like, this is ugly rags. So
yeah, this is like pressed toilet paper. This
is
like
embossed
novelty toilet paper.
Toilet tissue, what have you.
Yeah. It's Charmin. Costumes by Charmin.
Totally.
Eviscerated.
I'm still watching Silo.
I loved Silo. I mean, there's still one more episode or something happening, right?
I need a lot more to happen.
I like how slow it is.
I just cannot be down there anymore. I really need to go outside again. That like one episode where she went outside, I was like, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, that was exciting. She loves going swimming now.
All she does is swim in the dark. You can't even see a thing. At least I can't. Like as I watch on my iPad, there's like, it's so dark. I don't know why I can't see a thing. I just sort of imagine what's happening.
So a more insert SpongeBob meme. I read all those books too.
Wow.
And the books are really fun. I really recommend them. They're like quick reads. They just
really
zip by. They're super fun.
I will
really
read
recommend
them.
It.
I'm interested.
It's called Wool, but they probably changed the name of the books now to match the TV show.
Oh yeah, okay.
It used to be called Wool.
Why?
Because of the wool they used to clean the camera.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I read a book a while back. That's my book recommendation, which is a very small book by John McPhee called Oranges.
I haven't heard of this. Tell me more.
It's literally about oranges. So. I'm not kidding. And
okay. You must really like oranges.
No. It will make you so interested in oranges. I was shocked.
I did buy orange juice today.
Exactly. You're not going to believe about orange juice. You're going to learn all about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So highly recommend oranges.
So strange.
John McPhee.
That's very easy to remember.
Absolute. And Carolyn Brown just died, I think today or yesterday, and she was Cunningham's sort of greatest muse. And she, many years ago, wrote and probably like one of the definitive dance memoirs called Chance and Circumstance. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely amazing. And pick it up. It's like more urgent than ever.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
What's her name again? I don't know about her.
Carolyn Brown.
Carolyn Brown. I'm so uneducated in the Cunningham space.
No, it's fine.
It is fine. But I'm curious.
Yeah.
Listening, podcast? What's your favorite podcast right now other than mine?
Okay.
Did you listen to my episode with Michael from last week? No, you didn't.
No. But I will recommend Michael's podcast for the Maria Caligari episodes, which are absolutely iconic.
Okay.
Because she is so cuckoo Lulu that both she and Heather Watts are people who are like, I'm literally going to tell you what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And most people do not do that.
Yeah, it's true. It's very dancing on my grave.
Quite. Mm-hmm. And thank God we have a few people out there who are willing to share the truth or their truth. Yeah. Yeah. And then I've been listening to Ezra Klein, who helps me feel a little bit grounded in this scary, scary world. Mm-hmm. And then I've been listening to this interesting long form podcast called Acquired.
Oh, I love Acquired. It's fabulous.
Stop.
Yeah. So good. Augie recommended it to me and I love it. It's so good.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes. He was like, you'll like this. They did a whole series on the founding and rise of Nintendo.
I love that you call it a series when it's literally a 4-hour, one episode.
Well, don't they break it up?
I don't think so. I think you can
listen
straight. Yeah, exactly. It takes me a week to listen to an episode, but they're so good. I only found them because I was doing that job for Hermes, and then someone recommended, like, oh, you should listen to, like, what Hermes actually is. So I listened to their Acquired about Hermes, and it was amazing.
Yeah. I just was listening to one. Oh, my God. It was about Mars, like the chocolate bars.
Oh, my God. I love candy. I'll absolutely listen to
that. Really, really interesting.
I thought their IKEA one was also great.
Haven't listened to that. I will, though.
Mars. That's exciting. Oh, I want a candy bar immediately.
What's your favorite candy bar?
I almost said Snickers because it is kind of the best one. But I do love a Twix and I do love a Nestle Crunch.
Snickers is my favorite. It's so basic.
No, it's amazing. It's like Snickers truly are the best candy bar and Doritos are the best chip.
Period.
And like... Period. Doritos, they're perhaps the best food.
You're not going to find an argument from me.
They're so good. It's crazy. They make you feel crazy.
I can't believe it. Sometimes when I'm out in Fire Island and I get a giant bag of Doritos after being at the beach.
Oh, my God.
And I think to myself, I'm sitting by the pool eating Doritos after being at the beach and, like, preparing an iced coffee. And it doesn't get better.
To open a huge bag of Doritos, knowing that, like, there is not an end in sight, like...
And your jaw's going to be sore?
Absolutely. Because, like, you open a small bag of Doritos, you think, I'm going to have great happiness for a limited amount of time. Hmm. But to open a big, giant one and be like, this is forever.
And my fingers are going to have this on them.
Forever.
Yeah.
I love them. I also love a hard... Cheeto.
Oh, a Cheeto. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The crunchy Cheetos. I don't like the Flamin' Hot ones.
I don't either. And I'll eat the puffy ones. They're fun, but I don't want that.
No, the crunchy one. They look like little Neanderthal clubs.
They look like small poops.
Yeah. Like dry cat poops. Like old cat poop.
Absolutely.
Like elderly cat poop.
Yeah. Magical bright orange cat poops. They're Hermes cat poops.
Oh, Hermes should do a collab with cat poop. Okay, Reed, thank you for coming to the Stage Right Side.
You're so welcome.
So fun to talk to.
I love you so much.
Who should my guest be next week? Yeah, exactly. I don't know either. People out there, I need you to comment questions. So go on Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast. And I think you can leave comments in Spotify now. Leave comments on the episodes asking me questions you want me to answer next week. All right? Please do that.
Oh, and AMA.
And suggest guests.
Yeah. Have you done Jack?
I think I have like 1,000 years ago.
Right. Okay.
That'd be fun, though.
I'm drawing a blank and I don't want to be unfair to all the incredible people I know.
True. Yeah. I'll never forget. We met up with Jack at a show and Parker Posey was there. And someone comes up to Parker and is like, oh, you know, it's good to see you again. Like, do you remember me? And Parker goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't. I meet so many people.
Wow.
And it was like just a delivery of a fact. And it wasn't ice cold. It was, and the person was like, yeah, of course, like, I'm Chelsea. Yeah, it's good to see you.
Wow, I've met so many people.
I meet so many people.
That's true.
And it's true. Famous people.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I don't envy famous people.
No, I want their money, but I don't want to be famous. Period. All right. Bye.
Bye.
I'll see y'all next week.
That's all.
Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok.
That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.